So we'll begin here on Daf Tzadi Vav Amid Beis, on the first of the wide lines, which is about seven lines up from the bottom of the Amud, Omar Rava. And the Mishnah had said that a person sometimes puts himself out, he's Toreach, even for something that's not a mitzvah. For example, they had a kamiyah that looked like tefillin, and it was a whole hassle to make this kamiyah. It was very complicated because they made it in the shape of tefillin, but it really had no kedushas tefillin, and therefore they weren't going to allow you to carry it from a Rishus HaRabim into a private Rishus HaYochid for the sake of protecting a kamiyah which doesn't have kedushas tefillin. Amar Rava. Rava says that you cannot rely on the fact that a person is not Toreach. For example, in the case where they found chutim, and it wasn't Shabbos, this is during the week, then they wanted to know whether those chutim were woven for the sake of the mitzvah tzitzis, which means it needs lishma, and they found chutim that were cut in a very specific way, and although it's possible for these chutim to be used on the corners of like a Mexican poncho, you know, some sort of a fancy garment, and therefore don't rely on the fact that, well, a person wouldn't be Toreach just for a garment, you know, secular, mundane garment, to do all these, you know, make these chutim and cut them up in that specific way. V'chi adam toreach lasos kamiya kamin tefillin. If you find tefillin and you suspect that maybe they were made as a kamiya, and you're not going to apply the principle of ein adam toreach, you know, a person wouldn't put himself out, and therefore we're going to prohibit carrying these on Shabbos, this non. And this is the Mishnah back on Sadihei. It said, Bamedvar Amurim, if he finds on Shabbos tefillin, in a place where they might get lost, they're out there exposed in a public area, that's only b'yishanos. We're going to allow you to carry them in, whether it's one at a time or two at a time, whatever the shita is. That's only because it's Yeshanos, which means it's absolutely crystal clear that there were Ritzuos that were attached to the tefillin, and they made a Kesher Shel tefillin, and it's crystal clear that it's a pair of tefillin, and has Kedusha, and therefore you must bring it in from the Rishus HaRabim outside the city into the city, because otherwise there's a possibility that the tefillin would get ruined. Aval bechadoshos, the Mishnah says that if you have a new pair of tefillin and the ritzuos were not, you know, connected with a kesher, then potter. And by the way, potter here in this case, I believe, means that we suspect that this is not tefillin, it's only a kamiya. And if it wasn't made for the sake of tefillin, it doesn't have any kedushas tefillin. We're not going to be Mechal Shabbos, meaning we're not going to even violate some sort of Shvus D'Rabbanon and allow you to carry it by putting it on your head. In any event, you see clearly that even something like tefillin, I mean, it looks like a pair of tefillin, and there's a tremendous amount of work that goes into shaping these boxes to make them look like tefillin, and nevertheless we're afraid that maybe they were made for his own purposes, not for the Kedushas tefillin, as a kamiya, and therefore we're not going to allow you to carry it from one rishus to the other. Rava therefore wants to apply this same logic in the case where you find chutim that were sliced, you know, cut in a certain way, they opened them up in a certain way. We have to be choshesh that maybe he has a very fancy garment, a cloak, or we called it a poncho, and he wants it attached to his poncho, and therefore we're not going to allow him to use it for chute tzitzis. We're not going to assume ein adam toreach. So this is the chumrah of Rava. Omer Rabbi Zeir Eliav Abrei Pok Tnilahu. And Rabbi Zeira says to his son Ava, interesting name, go out and teach the Talmidim. If they had a problem with Rabbi Eliezer, well, I have a brisa that says explicitly exactly that, that the reason the Tam here is because Enom Torah Kol Kach, that when you find these chutim, you're allowed to use them for tzitzis. Because the brisa says Amotzi, if he finds a wool that was Tcheles Bashuk, he finds out in the marketplace wool that was dyed with the color Tcheles. If it's Lashonos, then it's Psulim. If he only finds strips of this, we'll call it blue-colored wool, then we don't assume it was made for tefillin. I'm sorry, for tzitzis. But chutim mufsakim ksherim. But if he finds not strips, but rather threads, and these threads were cut in the way that you would prepare for tzitzis, then lefi she'ein onam toreach, a person would not put in all this effort to cut up these chutim in such a way and tie them just simply for a secular purpose to put it on the edge of his garment. In any event, we see clearly from this brisa to support Rabbi Eliezer in the previous sugi, Rabbi Eliezer was the one who said that we apply the principle of umdino. We use circumstantial evidence to determine whether or not it has the status of tzitzis or not. So the Gemara now asks, Omar Rava Vachimishum de Tonile Ava Braid Rab Zera. I'm not so impressed by the fact that Rabbi Zera's son Ava has this brisa. Is Kipe Tolile? Should we consider as if he has a jewel with very special, beautiful adornments or so? In other words, that's an idiomatic phrase for meaning that we would not contradict that Mishnah based on a brisa that supposedly was quoted by Ava, the son of Rav Zeira. V'atanan, it says in that Mishnah, "Bamed var murim b'yishonos avol chadoshes potur," that we're afraid that he was toreach shelo l'shem mitzvah, and we're not going to allow you to carry these so-called tefillin because we're assuming they're not tefillin. He made it for his own purposes as a kamiyah. So when we have a Mishnah that's explicitly against Rabbi Elazar, meaning the equation between, the analogy between tefillin in the case of chadoshos and tzitzis in the case of chutim ha-nifsakim, ha-mufsakim, then we have a mission that's against Rabbi Elazar, and we're not going to support Rabbi Elazar with a so-called brisa that's quoted here by Ava, that allows you to assume that Einon and Torech, and therefore these are certainly ksherim for tzitzis. El Omar Rava, Rava says, you know what? Maybe this halacha of Rabbi Zeira depends upon the following machlokas tanoim. Torach velo torach. In other words, whether or not we assume a person would be torach shelo l'shem mitzvah, or he would not be torach shelo l'shem mitzvah. Again, the kula here would be if ain't on him torach. Tanoi he desanyu, we learned in the Brisa Motzi Tefillin. Machnisan zug zug. He wears one pair at a time until he goes back and forth and he brings in all the pairs of tefillin from this public place, which is very exposed and vulnerable for the tefillin. Echad ha'ish v'echad ha'isha. And a woman can also wear these tefillin. You might think that a woman is not obligated in the mitzvah of tefillin, and therefore when she carries the tefillin by wearing them on Shabbos, it's really a meleches masa, it's a meleches otzah. The Chiddush is no, that even for a woman it's considered a takshit, it's considered a mitzvah. Echad chadoshos v'echad yishonos. The Rameh says that even if you find these new tefillin where there are no ritzuos to form the kesher shel tefillin, we're not going to say that maybe he was toreach shelo l'shem mitzvah for the sake of a kamiyah. We can assume circumstantial evidence, most probably ain't on toreach, and therefore we can rely on the fact that these are endowed with Kedushas Tefillin. Rabbi Yehuda Oser v'chadoshos u'matari b'yishonos. Only if it's absolutely definite and certain, it's clear from the way you see the Tefillin, that's called Yishonos, that it's Kedushas Tefillin. Only then are you allowed to carry, but not if it's Chadoshos, because he's assuming Odom Torah, that a person might be Torah Shalol L'Shem Mitzvah. Alma, we see Mar, Savar, Rav Yudol, Torah Inish. A person would be Torah, even Shalol L'Shem Mitzvah, for the sake of a Kamiya. Again, it's not too clear to me. Maybe you would know why they made a Kamiya in the shape of Tefillin. That's a little confusing to me. I mean, there are so many different forms and pendulums and tzuros that they could have made. I don't know. For some reason, there was a push to make it look like Tefillin. That gave it a certain shtalts, you know, a certain attraction.
Let
me
have thought
of all
the special powers.
Right. Holds lo tarach inich. A person would not be Torah Shalol L'Shem Mitzvah. And therefore, if he did this tircha, then we have every right to assume that it was done L'Shem Mitzvah. So we see, says Rava, that this issue about Odom Torah or Ein Odom Torah is really a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehud. Now the Gemara wants to prove from a brisa that everybody agrees Ein Odom Torah, meaning even Rabbi Yehuda would agree to that. V'hashta the Tani Avud Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak. We have now a brisa of Avud Shmuel. Elu Hein Yishanos. Kol sheyesh ben ritzuos umekusharos. So if you find tefillin, they have the straps, and the straps are tied down in the form that we need them, right? We have a dalid, or we have, for example, a yud. Anyway, they were tied in the way that's proper for tefillin. That's called yishanos. And then we have chadoshos. And it would seem that in this brisa, you're not allowed to bring in the yishanos, because yesh ben ritzus v'lo mekusharos, even if they do have the straps of the tefillin, but they don't have the kesher shel tefillin, which is a big tircha. Anyway, you see clearly, according to this brisa, that the reason why tefillin chadoshos are prohibited has nothing to do with a kamiya chashash. Not because a person was toreach for his own purposes to create kamiya, but rather because you're not allowed to be kosher them on Shabbos. In other words, to make the kesher shel tefillin, that's prohibited on Shabbos. It's a permanent kesher, comes under the violation of lechas kosher, and therefore these tefillin are not valid or not usable for the mitzvah of tefillin. Because if you want to make, you know, if you want to bridge the gap between the tefillin as they are in this state and tefillin ksheros, you would have to make a kesher, which would entail violating a malach dorais of kosher. So that's not a possibility. But lekuli alma lo tarich inish. The Gemara wants to suggest that everybody agrees that we're not choshish for a kamiya. The whole issue boils down to the fact that these tefillin are not ksheros. So according to the Maskonas HaGemara, it seems like the Gemara accepts the principle of Ein Odom Torah, a person would not go out of his way to put in all the effort to make a kamiya that looks like tefillin. And therefore, by process of analogy, if a person finds chutei tcheles, and these chutim are mufsakim, they're split with a great tircha, then ksherim, and we accept Rabbi Lazar. And the brisa that Rabbi Zera quoted in the name of his son Ava is a reliable brisa, even though Rava said it's a machlokes tanoim, whether Adam Toreach or Ein Adam Toreach. But the language of the Gemara, Hashta Detoni Avua de Shmuel, sounds like the Gemara is coming to the conclusion, the sugya against Rava, and everybody agrees that Ein Adam Toreach in the case of tzitzis, and we can rely on the fact that Ein Adam Toreach, therefore that these tzitzis are ksherim. The only difference is in the case of tefillin, where the issue is not kamiya, but rather the issue is that the tefillin are not ksheros because they don't have a kesher, and you cannot make that kesher on Shabbos. The Gemara now asks the following question. Okay, I agree that you cannot make the kesher on these tefillin on Shabbos, but I can achieve the goal of being mashir the tefillin even without violating Meleches Kosher. How so? V'lanvinu mi'anok. Why can't he just make a bow instead of a knot for the Keshel Tefillin? Rav Chisdol Someres, Aniva P'sula B'Tefillin. We have to derive the conclusion from this brisa that to be Machshir Tefillin, you need an absolute Kesher, let's call it a double knot, and a bow will not suffice. So if he'll make it an Aniva B'Tefillin, he's not allowed to carry them in on Shabbos because those are not Tefillin Ksheros. Now, what about Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir was the one who said, Echad Chadoshos v'Echad Yeshonos. Apparently, it would seem that Rabbi Meir holds that Aniva is Ksheira b'tfilin. And that's why he was Matir being Machdis the Tfilin, even if they don't have a Kesher, because he can do the Aniva. And as far as Shabbos is concerned, Aniva is not a violation of Melech's Kosher. So that now it comes out that Omar of Chizda Zoso Meres Aniva Psula B'Tfilin, that makes sense according to Rabbi Yehuda, but it doesn't stem with Rabbi Meir. Abai says that there's no proof from this Braisa that Aniva is disqualified in Tfilin. It could be that Rabbi Yehuda Letame, the Omar Aniva Kshira Ma'aliyah. Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's no difference in Meleches Kosher on Shabbos between an Aniva and a Kshira. And therefore there's no option of a substitute for Kshira by doing a fallback Aniva, because on Shabbos that's a Meleches Kosher. So therefore, says Abai, I cannot accept a definite conclusion here that Aniva is excluded from Tefillin. Just on Shabbos it's excluded because we're going according to Rabbi Yehuda, who equates Aniva with Kshira. Now, we're going to go back to these words of Abaye and be medayik from Abaye. What's the din of Aniva b'tfilin? The Gemara says, Taima, it seems that according to the words of Abaye, the reason why Rabbi Yehuda excludes Aniva is because of Meleches Kshira. The Aniva Kshira Ma'ali, so he, as far as Meleches Kosher, he violates that Malach on Shabbos with Aniva. Halav Hachi. If not for the Isur Kosher, Aniv Lahu, he would do a bow, and the bow on the Ritzus of Tefillin would be considered a Kesher. He would fulfill the mitzvah of Tefillin. Frek de Gemara, Va'omar, Rav Yehuda Brei, Rav Yishmuel Bar Shilat, Bishmei de Rav, Kesher Shel Tefillin, Aloch L'moshe Misinai, who, that the Tzura of a Kesher is something that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Sinai, and it's got to be a Kesher that looks like a Dalit. And if you have a ritzua, and you make out of this ritzua kvua b'tfilin, a rosh hakafuf, and then it looks like a yud. So we have these two letters of a dalid and a yud. Those are the two ksharim. And on the bias of the tfilin shel rosh, we have a letter shin. All this is halacha l'moshe v'sinai. V'yomer av Nachman. Vinoyehem, and also to beautify the letters of the tefillin, we need a heker osios hasuyos bekesher. Lebar, meaning towards the outside. So this, for example, the shin on the tefillin shorosh is made in such a way that you can see it on the outside. Now, how can Avai say that you do an aniva with the ritzuas of tefillin? The Aniva will no way, no how, have the Tzuras Osios of a Dalit and a Yud. You can do a Kesher that looks like a Dalit, you can do a Kesher that looks like a Yud, but it seems impossible to do an Aniva that looks like either a Kesher, either a Yud or a Dalit. And the Gemara answer is, when Abai was Machshir, was the Unavle Ke'em Kshir Didhu. He did an Aniva that would create the Tzuras Osios, and exactly in the same way that he would do it with a knot, he was able to achieve it with a bow. Now the Gemara wants to understand what happens if I buy tefillin from someone who's not a mumche, he's not an expert. Maybe he's a middleman, you know, he's making money by selling me tefillin. Omar al-Chizna Rav alokeh tefillin mimisha eino mumche. You're going to have to check out and examine and investigate to make sure that these tefillin are kasheros, because this fellow who's not a mumcha is running around selling tefillin. So what is the minimum bedika that would establish that these tefillin are indeed kasheros? Bodek shtayim shel yad v'achas shel rosh. He's got to open up the tefillin, and in the case of tefillin shel yad, he has to check out the parshios of two tefillin shel yad. In other words, this guy, we'll call him Yankel, he's selling tefillin. And now we have to determine that even though he's not a mumcha, he's selling tefillin kasher. So we're going to have to open up a minimum of two pairs of tefillin shel yad and one pair of tefillin shel rosh. Oh, the other way around. Shtayim shel rosh, v'yachas shel yad. And by checking out the parshios of three batim, whether it's two of Rosh and one of Yad or the other way around, he becomes huchzak sofer. He becomes huchzak that he's selling tefillin that came from a scribe who is a mumcha. You don't have to check out any more of his tefillin. We have a rule of the number three, right? The number three is always a chazak. So the Gemara objects to this statement of Rav, manefshach, I don't get it. If we know that people buying tefillin from one source, then you buy all of them from one person, livdok osholo shel yad oshol shel rosh, why not just be machzik with three of them? And now we can say there's a chazaka that all the parshios that he buys from this sofer is an expert, and the ksheros, and it's bein shel yad, bein shel rosh. So why is it that you need a combination of one and two, or two and one? Why isn't sufficient to be bodek three parshios that are all either shel yad or shel rosh? And if you're going to tell me that we're buying tefillin from two or three different sofrim, he doesn't have one single source of one sofer, then if that be the case, it doesn't make sense that we just simply check out three batim, you know, two and one, kol chad v'chad liboy b'dika. Every single pair of tefillin should have to be checked, because he buys from many different sofrim. If he buys from one sofer, then check out three batim of shel yad, or three batim of shel rosh. No need to get a representation of both shel yad and shel rosh. If on the other hand he buys from many different sofrim, then it doesn't make sense that he could rely on the chazaka from those tefillin for this tefillin, because this tefillin might be written by a different sofer. Liolam, the Gemara says, how do we interpret Rav? Mechad gavra zoven. He's buying all his tefillin from one particular sofer. Ube'inon demismache. And we have to have a chazaka that the sofer is a mumcha. And hein b'shal yad. Not only with regard to the parashios of shal yad, but hein b'shal rosh. And also in the parashios of shal rosh. He cannot have a chazaka that he's a mumcha in shel rosh just because we checked his shel yad, or the other way around. So again, we don't need three batim from each of the two. When we check out a bias from one of the two, meaning from one of either shel rosh or the shel yad, that will be integrated into the bedika of two batim of the opposite category. And all told, we have a chazaka of three tefillin. But we need at least one bedika of the other gender, of the other category. And this has to do with a sugya in Bava Kama, believe it or not, of Shar HaMuad. A Shar HaMuad gored on three occasions. And let's say the shar attacked another shar, a chamor, and a gamal. Then it becomes a mu'ud for everything. Why? Because even though he was only nogeach one animal of each of these categories, these three species, we're going to integrate them all together to set up a chazakah as a mu'ud. But in the case of the expertise for writing the parashas of tefillin correctly, we need that of each category, meaning shal yad and shal rosh, we have at least one occasion in which we can examine and establish that he was writing it b'mumchis, with expertise. So Gemara objects to this. Eini, is this really so? V'atani, Rabba bar Shmuel, b'tfillin, when you check tfillin, if you buy it from someone who's not a muhsak mumche, is bodek shol shel yad v'shel rosh. So the Gemara says, my, what does the b'raisa mean? When it says bodek shol shel yad v'shel rosh, lav, doesn't it mean o shol shel yad, o shol shel rosh? You know, it's just got to get the magic number 3, but it could be for one of these two categories. Lo, the Gemara rejects that interpretation of the b'raisa. Shalosh means the total number of bedikos, but how do you subdivide them? Is chelik, some of them is mishal yad, and some is mishal rosh. Hence, Rav is right. The Gemara asks from a different brisa now, which seems to indicate that you don't need a bedika of 3 tefillin. For Tani Rabbi Rav Kana, a brisa Rav Kana betefillin bodek shtayim shal yad vishal rosh. Now Rav said you need 3 batin, from 3 parashios, from 3 batin. Here it seems all you need is maximum of 2, no more. Where it says Hamani, this brisa reflects the shita of Rebbe, who says the Yom betrays him the Avi Chazaka. So this is sugya in Masecht Yevamos on Daf Samach Dalet, and the question is: are you allowed to marry a woman who was married twice before, and in both occasions she was widowed and her husband died? Rebbe says if she was married twice, that's enough to establish a chazaka of what we call a horeges bala. I guess she drives her husband crazy until finally he drops dead. However, Rav Shimon Gamliel is of the opinion against Rebbe that this halacha and this chazaka requires 3 people, that she killed 3 husbands. I wonder what the insurance companies are charging here for life insurance. Anyway, it comes out that Rav is paskining like Rav Shimon Gamliel, and you need a minimum of 3 for a chazaka. And the sugi bava kama, which requires 3 negichos, also seems to reflect that shita. This brisa that says you check out the eno mumcha and see if we can examine and establish after 2 batim and 2 sets of parashios that he was doing it in the right way, that's enough to establish chazaka. That reflects the shita of Rebbe that trades in the avi chazaka. The Gemara is not happy with this. Rebbe, if the brisa reflects the shita of Rebbe, ema seifa. Now, in the seifa, we're talking about a person who buys aremos shel tefillin. Now, in each one of these piles of tefillin, there are many different pairs of tefillin, and he has to check 1 shel rosh, 1 shel yad from the first pile. V'chein, so too, he has to go and check 1 shel rosh and 1 shel yad b'tzavos hasheni from the second pile. V'chein, and now he has to check 1 shel yad and 1 shel rosh from the tzvas hashlishi. So that now he's checked out 3 piles of tefillin. Each pile has many, many pairs of tefillin. And it would seem from this brisa that once he checks 3 pairs of tefillin, there's a chazaka on the other piles of tefillin. The Rebbe, if this brisa, as you say, is attributed to the authorship of Rebbe, is shlishi mi isle. Why would Rebbe require that he has to check a 3rd arema? After all, Rebbe holds that a chazaka is established with 2 times, So once he checks out two aremos, then we should be machshir all the other aremos of tefillin. And if the sefer that requires three aremos of tefillin to be checked is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, who argues against Rebbe, then we go back to the beginning of this price, to the Reisha, and we assume that in the Reisha, all you need is to be Bodek Shtayim, Shel Yad Vishel Rosh. So now we're back to our question that we had. The Brice of Rav Kana says Bodek Shtayim Shel Yad Vishel Rosh. So it means that this price is against Rav. Again, let's go over this, because Rav said that you have to be Bodek Parshius of three Batim, and this price seems to assume that Shtayim, although I don't know, the language of the price is a little bit difficult. It says Bitfilin Bodek Shtayim Shel Yad Vishel Rosh. Again, Rav was the one who said you have to be Bodek three Batim. And this Brisa seems to indicate that you only have to check two Batim. I'm not sure exactly how to fit that into the language of the Brisa. So the Gemara now is going to answer that this Brisa is Rebbe. Oh, but what about the case of Aremos? There in the safe of the Brisa, we require checking out three aremos. So the Gemara says, Moda Rebbe Bitzvatayim, that when it comes to aremos, he's got to be bodek no less than three aremos, because each arema is a separate entity, and from the fact that the first two aremos were ksheros, that doesn't prove a thing about the rest of the aremos, that they are ksheros. Why? To betray Tlosa Gavri Zovin. When a person buys piles of tefillin, then he usually buys them from different people. In other words, there are different scribes and different sources. So one arema, one tzvas, was from a certain scribe, the other tzvas was from a different scribe. So therefore you cannot prove anything about the kashas of the sofrim from the fact that the first arema was written by a reliable sofer, or the second arema. That doesn't prove anything about the third arema. So the Gemara says, Yehochi afilu revi nami. It says here in this Brice in the Sefer that if you checked out three aremos, then that's fine for all the other aremos. Zafilu chamishi nami. Even if he checks three aremos and he has a fourth arema or a fifth arema, it doesn't matter how many he checks. Each arema is attributed, is written by a different scribe. Where it says Enochi nami v'haydiktoni shlishi lafuke mecheskia, that Enochi nami has to be bodek not only the third arema, he has to be bodek the fourth arema, the fifth arema. But the reason why the Brisa emphasizes shlishi is to exclude Chizkia. I'm sorry, not Chizkia, I made a mistake. Cheske, that's how you have to read it. Mi lafuki mi cheske. In other words, he just wants to exclude Rebbe. So he mentions the number three, even though in this context, really, Rebbe himself would agree that two is not enough. But he went out of his way to mention three. Uli olam afilu revi v'chamishi nami. So he sort of perked you up and told you, agav urcha, that we reject Rebbe's halacha that a chazok could be established with two. But in truth, each arema is a separate entity. We're going to have to check out each arema. Now the Mishnah says, Mitzon tzvasim o krichos, that if he finds these piles of tefillin, then he's going to have to go out there, out in Rishus HaRabim, and he's going to have to wait until after Shabbos and immediately take them back in after Shabbos. So Gemara wants to know, what is this tzvatim and what are these krichos? My tzvatim and my krichos. Amar Rav Yudah Marav, hein hein svatim, hein hein krichos. Those both are, you know, wrapped up, connected to pairs of tefillin. And there's a myriad, a large volume of tefillin that are tied one to the other. Tzvatim is zave zave. These are pairs of tefillin that are tied together. Every pair of a shalyad and shalrosh is unto itself. And then after they created these connections between the tefillin shalyad shul tarosh, then they connected them to other pairs of tefillin, making it into one, what we call agudachas. What's krichos? The krichon tuva. That he wrapped them up and he made many, many different knots, many together. He didn't tie each pair unto itself, but rather he has many batim of tefillin shel yad that are tied together, many batim of tefillin shel rosh. They're all mishkababel together. The Mishnah says that in the case of tzvatim and krichos, machshech aleihem es hatchum v'vion, so he's not allowed to bring them in one pair at a time. Vamai lailinu zug zug. Why don't we do with this tefillin the way that we do with all tefillin that we find out there in the fields, you know, exposed to the vulnerable? Or Rav Yitzchok Breider, Rav Yehuda Ledidim Farshalimini Diaba. I heard from my father, Rabbi Yehuda, an interpretation of this Mishnah. Kol she'ilu machnisan, if he's going to bring in all these tefillin, zug zug, in the way that he would normally wear tefillin during the weekday, and then go back to take each zug, v'cholos kodem shkiyas hachama, he'll only be able to bring them back. No. If he's able to bring them all in before shkiyah, before the end of Shabbos, machnisan zug zug. So that's not the case in the Mishnah. Lo, but if there's such a myriad of tefillin, then even if he takes them zug zug, he won't have enough time to bring them all in before Shkiyah Sachamo, and therefore, machshich aleihem, he should rather stand there the whole day of Shabbos and protect them until Shabbos is out, umevion, and then he'll carry them by hand. So what's the logic here? Why is it that if he can't do the whole job, then he shouldn't even start the job? He says here, Mikevon she'af imechnisan zug zug, tzarchu l'troch v'lachzo l'sodom ishetechshach. Even if he brings them in one zug at a time, he's going to have to go back there after dark, because he can't fit in the last pair of tefillin before Shabbos ends. So he's going to have to go out there, and he's going to have to bring in the tefillin that are left there. Is therefore, they're not going to allow him to be lovesh tefillin. So this is interesting. We don't wear tefillin and walk from one rishus to another, rishus rav, rishus ayochid. That's a shvutz. We're only allowing you because of the tremendous tircha involved here. But if at the end of the day, that's actually a pun, but if at the end of the day, you're going to have to go back there anyway, so you're going to have to do this extra effort, this tircha. So then, we're not going to really gain that much by telling you to take in the zugos 1-1. We want to save you that whole tircha. So, and we want to, in doing so, we're going to be matir this shvus of carrying it from one rishus to the other. So in this case, we're going to ask him to protect the tefillin until he can take them all in, in one fell swoop. I'll just read to you the note I have here. Madua lo chivu samotzi tefillin chadoshos sheyefshel koshron sheyachshoch aleihem kedei latzilam mibizoyon kmo shechivu motzei tzvazim latzilam sherak bishonos mori lachnisan zugzug osu takona sheyamon shomat shetetsha vishomat chadosh shel tignu lachnisan. Okay, that's valid. I don't see anything to write home about here. He's saying that just like in the case of Chadoshos, they weren't matir wearing them because you don't have the assumption of Kedushas Tefillin, therefore you don't have to stand there and guard them until after Shabbos. So let me just see if I can just add anything here. Somewhere or other I have an English translation. See if by chance he adds any footnote over here to enhance this. He says that if it's not possible to bring them in, one must stay with them until dark and then bring them in after dark. 25. Since he must anyway trouble himself to return after dark to retrieve the remaining tefillin, the rabbis allowed him simply to stay there with all the tefillin until nightfall and then transport them together to safety. Okay, he adds a little bit here in the footnote. He says, since he does not gain time by transporting the tefillin on the Shabbos, therefore they did not permit him to do so. Again, exactly what we said, that there's this time element here, that they're going to permit the Shavuos and allow him because he's going to save the time so that he doesn't have to go out there waiting till Shabbos ends. But if in any event, no matter how this enterprise continues and implements itself, he's going to anyway, no doubt about it, he has to go out there in order to make sure that he gets the last pair of tefillin. Is therefore we're not going to save him that, so he might as well be machshech al tchum. I think what's going on here is maybe is a combination of factors here, but we're not only trying to reduce his tircha on Shabbos, which in and of itself is meaningful, but part of the motivation is that he doesn't have to go all the way out there in the Sadeh and spend the balance of the Shabbos out in the Sadeh. So we're saving him two things. We're saving him all the tircha, and also to experience, the Shabbos out there in the fields. If we can save him that, then we're going to be matir the Shavuos. But if on the other hand, at the end of the day, he's got to go out there anyway, so the tircha and the experience of standing out in the fields over Shabbos is going to happen, he's going to have to do that anyway for the sake of the tefillin, then he might as well start instead of going through this whole tircha back and forth, wearing tefillin back, let him just stand there out there and guard the tefillin. Okay, then now we get to sakana. The Mishnah says that b'sakana, if it's impossible for him to stand out there in the fields because it's very dangerous, who knows who's going to attack him? I don't know if it's animals or maybe human beings. Is then mechason, he should cover them over so they shouldn't be humiliated from the holichlo, and he goes back to his house. So now the Gemara has a brisa which seems to assume that b'shas ha-sakana there's something else involved. V'atanya u'b'sakana molichan pochos mi'arba amos. That if there's sakana, what they should do is they should carry the tefillin less than 4 amos, and then they go back again and once again do this procedure of less than talad amos. And on each Dalet Amos, they do a Hanocha, so there was never an Akirin Hanocha Sof Dalet. And if they keep breaking up their carrying into segments that's less than Dalet Amos, they'll never violate the Issur Torah, and they'll take the Tefillin to a Mokom HaMishtamer, and we're allowed to doing this for the sake of Shmius HaTefillin. So why does it say in our Mishnah, Mechason V'Holichlo, Omarav Lo Kash, Ha, that our Mishnah that says that you should cover it with a beged, that's sakonas goyim. That's a case where the goyim have decreed that we're not allowed to wear tefillin. If they find us wearing tefillin, or even carrying tefillin, they might kill him. So therefore, the Mishnah says the best you can do here is to cover the tefillin. V'ha, but the brisa that says that he should take the tefillin and carry it and wear it less than 4 amos, that's a case sakonis listin. This is where there are there's a threat of attackers, and the Braisa says that if you find these tefillin and you might be afraid of attackers, if you wait out in the sada, so therefore, even though you found these massive groups of tefillin, piles of tefillin, which normally require you to stand there until after Shabbos out in the field, but here in Sakonis Listim, he's allowed to bring them back in, but pachos mi barba amos, and he shouldn't leave any tefillin out there in the field. Now, it seems that the impression I get is that this listim is not just a danger for him, it's also a danger for the tefillin, because the listim might be noy bizoyan in the tefillin. And now I think we're up to Tzadi Zayin Amid Beis. Amale Rava, Rava says to Rav, as far as your answer is concerned, Mayu Kim to Masnisin, you interpret that mission as referring to Sakonis Goyim, Amos Seifa. Rabbi Shimon Omer, that if there's a Sakana, then he does not cover up the tefillin, but rather Nosim L'chaver V'chaver L'chavera. So that Rabbi Shimon advocates in favor of this assembly line system where you pass the tefillin from one person to the other, and everyone carries them less than four amos until they get to a makom mishtameh. Now, if we're talking about a case of sakana, because the gzeir of tefillin, if they catch you with tefillin, then kol shkein, the avshav milsi, you're making it even worse. By setting up this assembly line, it's so public in nature, it's going to certainly attract the attention of the goyim, and he's going to get killed. So therefore, Abai says to Rav, you cannot just get away with interpreting the Mishnah as a reference to a case of sakonas goyim, but rather chisuri mechzer. The Gemara says v'alchi k'toni. But medvam amurim. When do we say that he's going to cover the tefillin? B'sakonas ovde gilulit. If the gzera of the goyim was that they're not allowed to wear tefillin, and therefore if he gets caught with tefillin in his hands, they're going to kill him. Avol b'sakonas listim. There the fear is bizoyna tefillin. If the listim find the tefillin is molicham pokus mi arba amos, and go, this is the Tanakhama holds, take them less than dalad amos until you finally get to makom mishtamer. Reb Shimon says no slichaver v'chavero, and we're not afraid of the public nature of this because we're afraid of listim and not of ovdei gilu. But my komifgi, what's the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Reb Shimon? Why does Tanakhama advocate carrying it less than four amos? Reb Shimon says pass it from one to the other. Mar Sovar, according to the Tanakhama, if you're going to take the tefillin in by yourself, pachos b'arba amos adif, better if you're involved from beginning to end without involving others. Everybody's going to know about the zilzul in Kavodah Shabbos. We want to make this into a private operation. So if it's one person, nobody has to know about it. He just keeps stopping within 4 hours. But Marisov, according to Reb Shimon, Nosom L'Chavero Odif, better to have this assembly. And you remember in the old movies about how they put out a fire, you remember each person had a bucket and they made a line. So he would rather do it that way than do it pachos mi arba. The iamrat, if you're going to tell me olichem pachos mi arba amos zimnin de lava daiti biosilis asuyinu, he might forget himself and he might carry it arba amos which is a rab and it'll violate Shabbos with an Issa Torah. And therefore, since you're telling him to constantly stop every 3.9 amos, we have a real serious shash that on one occasion he's not going to pay attention, he'll make a mistake, and he'll carry the full 4 amos. But if he has an assembly line, then each person is going to carry it less than arba amos, and the other person situates himself right there within the dalet amos. There's no suspicion and no fear that he might carry it a full Dalet Amos. And everyone is involved in this project together, and each one will remind the next one. The Mishnah says, V'chein b'no, if let's say his wife gives birth out in the fields, and he has to take the baby home, then we should again use this assembly line system. B'no, my boy, Hossam. The Gemara wants to know, how is it that he has a child out there, a little infant in the fields? And to be mashtana, kishiyoldo imavasad, she gave birth out in the fields on Shabbos. Okay. Umaya filu hein mea. Why does the Mishnah emphasize that even if there are 100 people who are involved in this assembly line, the afagav de kasha le yida, even though we have a trade-off here. On the one hand, from a Shabbos perspective, we would want as many people involved as possible, each one reminds the other one. From a health perspective, on the other hand, it's not such a great thing that everyone's handling the baby. Maybe they're not all wearing masks. Is afilu hachi ha'adifa. We would rather prefer that we have Hanoshim Harbe, even though there is some statistical possibility that because of so many hands on the baby, it might not be so healthy for the baby. Because the other option is that one person will take the baby and stop every 4 amos, and we're always afraid that he might not do so, and inadvertently he goes over the 4 amos. And then we have the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Nosein Adam Lechavero, Lechavero Lechavero, Mutal Lehavi Derech Zu Afilu Chutz Letchum. Now let's emphasize that Rabbi Yehuda is referring to a Chavis, and he's passing it from one friend to the other with this assembly line system, even Chutz Letchum. So the Gemara says, V'lesle Rabbi Yehuda Hadisnan. What is Rabbi Yehuda going to do with the Mishnah at the end of Beitzah with regard to these Tchumen? It says, HaBehema V'Kelim K'Ragli HaBailim, that wherever the Baal of this, who owns these Kelim, or this animal, is Konesh Visa, then you're not allowed to take that Keli, or that Behema, outside of the circumference of the Tchum of the Baalim. And here, Rabbi Yehuda is allowing you to take this chavis, even chutz l'tchum. Omrei shlokish mishum Levi Saba, hachamayaskina. The case is be me'oran, that he pours water from mechavis shel chaver lechavis shelo, from his friend's receptacle into his. So therefore, molichem es hamayim ad shemegiim l'sof tchuma shel hachavis rishona. When the water reaches the end of the tchum of the wherever the first barrel was konish visa, then they pour the water into another barrel, and then they'll carry that barrel out to the sof tchum, and this is what they continuously do, tamid ash megim amayim l'mkom shel adam hatzorach lahem, right, to somebody who needs that water. So every time that they are taking the water chutz tchum, then yotzim heim bechavis hashiachas l'adam asher rishay leilich. They'll pour the water into the chavis of someone who's allowed to go beyond that tchum. He has a different tchum Shabbos. And even though in this way he's not being motzi the chavis chutz l'tchum Shabbos, but you could have said it's also because the mayim itself is going chutz l'tchum. And the question is, what's koveah here? Is it the mayim or the chavis? But the Tanav Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda L'tameh D'yomer Mayim Ein Lehem Mamash. He holds that there's no such din as a Kinyan Shvisa as far as Mayim is concerned, but you could be Molich Kol Adam Mutal Aholich Kiraglov. Each person could take the Mayim and be Molich it like his Kinyan Shvisa, even if it's Yotzim Itchum of the first Bailim. And that's not a problem. Tisnan, because we saw at the end of the Mishnah in Beitzah, in the case of a woman who borrows from her friend Mayim on Yontif,
because she needs the water to make an isa, to make a dough, or to put the water into a tavshil, into the pot, Rabbi Yehuda poter b'mayim. In other words, there's no isa tchumin on mayim. And the woman who borrows the mayim, she's allowed to take the mayim for the isa or the tavshil to the place where she, the shoelis, the one who's borrowing, is allowed to go on yontif. Mipnei she'ein by mayim, because mayim does not have mayim. So there's no limitation in the water, and the kinyan shvisa of the water is ein bo mamish. Now, in the Mishnah, is machlokes chachomim against Rabbi Yehuda. Chachomim say that you're not allowed to be motzi the chovitz michutz l'tchum of the shvisa of the bialim. So Gemara says, ulepirish zeh shedivrei Rabbi Yehuda nemer b'ma'ara michovitz l'chovitz. This Rabbi Yehuda is talking about pouring the water from one barrel to the other. Is my lo tahalich zu? What do the Chachomim mean when they say that she shouldn't go beyond ragle baleha? And the word zu is in feminine, loshen akeva. So we cannot assume shalotahal yosemi ragle baleha shere bozegam Rabbi Yehuda mode. He's only being matu the chavis, right? Because as far as the chavis, right? The chavis has to stay within its tchum. So lo yahalich ma shebazu yosemi ragle habalim, that he shouldn't be molech the mayim b'toch hachavis l'makom rachuk yosemi vaisem mayim. No, it's beyond the tchum of the bialim. So the chachamim, which again is consistent with their sheet of the Mishnah at the end of Beitza, that isha shesholem yichavet to biyontif, she borrows mayim in order to add to a tavshil or isa, the din of the isa, the tavshil, is that also alicha l'makom sheshtei anoshim mutaris lech, is only the overlap between the two noshim. Because l'shisasam yesh chelik v'isa l'shtei and yesh chelik v'isa o b'tavshil. So the Gemara now asks, Emer de shamet lei l'Rabbi Yehuda hecha de belian v'isa. But hecha de isnu v'anayu mi shamet lei. We only know the Rabbi Yehuda in the case of Mayim Shenivla'u, they were absorbed in the Isa, and you can't see them. That's where you can pass it on from one tchum to the other. But what about a case of Mayim that are be'en, that are not mixed up? We didn't hear him say anything about that. So the statement of Mayim Ein Shem B'mamish was not really said explicitly. What you're implying from Rabbi Yehuda is not necessarily so. Hashta b'kedera om Rabbi Yehuda lo batli, be'enei batli, just because if the case of a kedera, Rabbi Yehuda says lo batli, the mayim anap etelim, as the Gemara is going to explain, is be'enei batli, when the mayim are separate unto themselves, should we say that they're betelim? But rather, Rabbi Yehuda never said the mayim ein lehem mamish, except in the case of isa v'tavshil, when the mayim are bluim, they are absorbed inside the isa v'tavshil. The sanya, Rabbi Yehuda omer mayim u'melach betelim be'isa. Since you can't see the mayim, they are completely absorbed. Therefore, they get a din of the isa, and you can be molech them on yontif to the makom of the bialim of the isa, the shvisa of the bialim of the isa. Ve'en hamayim v'mel p'telim shenosam v'kedera b'pnei rotva. Now, the rotav is motziba, is mayim, most of mayim, and nikar b'kedera, you could see it in the kedera. So if she borrowed money, I'm sorry, mayim, I meant to say, from her neighbor, kedesha tasima b'kederasa, then the kedera is keragli shteyen, and ein lo lichon ela l'makom shesteyen yecholos l'leches. So the Gemara now rejects Reish Lakish in the name of Levi Saba. We cannot assume that the Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda as he expresses his Shita in Beitza. So the Gemara now has to answer that the words of Rabbi Yehuda is Matir Tiltul L'Chavis Chutzutchum has to be reinterpreted. El Amar Rava Hocha, the case in our Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda is Matir L'Taltul Mayim Chutzutchum by passing it through this assembly line from one person to the other, is bechavis shekonsa shvisa, that the chavis was kona shvisa, mayim shalokona shvisa askinon. So we're talking about a chavis that was Kona Shvisa for the Bailim. And when he passed it from one person to the other, he's being Motzi, the Chavis Chutzat Tchum. And the Mayim were not Kona Shvisa because Mila'am Hayom Mimayon Hanovea Onohar. So on Shabbos itself, he filled up the water, so it wasn't Kona Shvisa. And even though you're not allowed to be motzi the chavis chutz l'tchum in and of itself, but now the chavis is full of mayim, and therefore you're allowed to be motzi the chavis because it's malei mayim, because the mayim were not kona shvisa, and therefore that which carries the water, you can be molech l'chol mokom. Even the chavis is mutla hotzia chutz l'tchum. It made the batli chavis gavi mayim. The chavis is batel, loses its identity vis-a-vis the mayim. The mayim is the ikar. The chavis is only there to carry the mayim, and therefore the din of shvisa depends on the mayim, which in this case it was nahar or mayon, and therefore there was no kinyan shvisa. Tisnan, and we have something similar in a Mishnah Masechet Shabbos on Daf Tzadi Gimel Amid Beis with regard to the chiyuv from Melechas Hotzah Motzi. If he carries something with Shusha Rabban, Shusha Yochid, or vice versa. And there's a chai, and we have the principle called a chai no satsu, so he's not chai from Melech Sotzor vis-a-vis the chai. And bimita, and the chai is now laying down in a bed, and he carries the chai through the bed, potter. Afalamita, he doesn't even incur a violation of Melech Sotzor vis-a-vis the mita, and they shall mita tfeilolo. The mita is only there to carry the person, and lose its only its own independent status. Amotzi, if he takes from Rishus Hayochdush, Saram Ochlin, Pochs Mikashir, but he's carrying them in the Kli, is Potter Af Al HaKli, Mipnesh HaKli Tofilo. The Kli is considered secondary, and it's Batil to the Ochel, because he only carried the Kli for the purpose of carrying the contents of the Kli. And since the contents of the Kli is Ochlin Pochus Mikashir, therefore he's not even Chayev for the Kli. And by analogy, in our Mishnah as well, the Ikar, the main purpose, the Tzorah for which he's Molech Chutz L'Tchum, is before the water. He wants to get the water Chutz L'Tchum. And the Chavis is therefore bottled to the Mayim. And since the Mayim were not Kodesh Shvisa in any particular place, he could be Molech the Chavis Mi Chutz L'Tchum, as far as the Shvisa of the Chavis is concerned, because the Chavis is now bottled to the Mayim. And the Chachamim in our Mishnah reject Rabbi Yehuda. They hold that the Chavis was Kona Shvisa, and the Mayim was not Kona Shvisa, but you cannot carry and relocate the Chavis more than the Ragli Balea, because it's not Betela, the Chavis is not Betela to the Mayim. The Ritva is bothered because the Mishnah of Hotzi Ochlin B'Kli Potter Afala Kli is a Stam Mishnah. No one argues. It seems that the Chacham also accept that principle. So why here are the Chachamim Cholik and you're not allowed to be Molech the Chavis Yosemi Ragli Baleha? What's the difference between the Mayim and the Ochel and the Kli? And the Ravid answers that the din of the Kli being Batel Gavya Ochel, even Pachs Mikashir, that's only in a situation where the Ochel is Chashav Yosem in a Kli. So the Ochel gets a status because it's more important than the Kli. Also, the Chai is more chashiv than the Mita, but Mayim is not more chashiv than the Chavis. Masiv Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef has a kasha from a brisa. Rav Yudom, if a shayora, if you had a shayora of three people that were chon in a bika, and then of Mayim, is mibnei onso, because of their difficult situation, the chacham of matir, that no sein adam chavis chaver, chaveris chavero, and he can carry out the Mayim Chutz L'Tchum, so that we can bring them to the Anshei HaShayora, and Rav Yosef is Medayik Shayora in, Shalo B'Shayora Lo, that when you have a Shayora made up of many people, then the Rabbanu would make you, and they allowed you to carry the Mayim Chutz L'Tchum, but if it was Shalo B'Shayora Lo, they weren't make you the Hotzi Achovis Chutz L'Tchum, and that's against the Brisa of Rabbi Yehuda, because the Braisa seems to say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Shayora Hikilu, the Mishnah says that Rabbi Yehuda was Mekil even Shaloba Shayora, El Amar Rav Yosef, Kitananami, B'masnisim, B'shayora, Tanan. that what we see quoted, Rav Yudas quoted in the Mishnah of Imater, halocha, halocha sachov is chutz l'tchum, that's only in a case of a shayara. So you have a chavis that was konesh visa, and the mayim was not konesh visa, as we said in the name of Rava before. As far as the shayor is concerned, they were matir, and they said that the chavis is batel to the mayim, which was not konesh visa, therefore you're allowed to be motzi the chavis with the mayim chutz l'tchum. Chacham said you're not allowed to be motzi the chavis chutz l'tchum even in that situation. But if it was not a shayora, then even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that they weren't matir laholich as a chavis chutz l'tchuma. And we're not going to say that the mayim, that the chavis is bottled the mayim inside of it. Abaye answers Rav Yosef's kash in a different way. Abaye omer b'shayora, you're allowed to carry the mayim, bring the mayim by passing the chavis from one person to the other. Afilu b'chavis shekonsa shvisa u'mayim shekonu shvisa. Even if the mayim was konu shvisa, and now they're chutz l'tchum, there's no gzera of tchumin drabanan in this case because the shayara needs the water. But shalo b'shayara, then b'chavis shekonsa shvisa, mayim shalo konu shvisa. Then you're allowed to bring the water in a chavis that was konu shvisa, or in the case of mayim shalo konu shvisa. In other words, since the mayim were not konu shvisa, then the chavis again is betela to the mayim, and therefore you could be molech the chavis even chutz l'tchum, as Rava said before. Our Mishnah, in which Rabbi Yehuda is matir to carry the chavis with the mayim, we can assume it's even without a shayara, and that's a simple reading of the Mishnah. The Mishnah didn't mention or qualify that we're talking about a shayara. Ravashi Omar, Ravashi wants to interpret our Mishnah in a different way. Hocha bechavis the hefker askinon, umayim the hefker askinon. We're talking that both the chavis and the mayim are hefker, and therefore there's no kinyan shvisa. Anyone could be molech the chavis or the mayim mimakom shu rashoi according to his limitations of tchum. Therefore, he could be maver the chavis chutz l'tchum of the person ayidei odem shu rashoi leleches l'shah. So the Gemara right away asks, man omrulo, why did the chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda and hold that the chavis and the mayim of hefker are konish visa bimkomam and you're not allowed to be molech chutz l'tchum if they're hefker? And the Gemara answers, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri hi diomar kol cheftzei hefker konim shvisa. That Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri has a view that a chefetz of hefker is konim shvisa, and wherever that chefetz of hefker is located at the moment of the onset of Shabbos, even though there are no bailim to establish the kinyan shvisa, nevertheless, the object is Kodesh Visa in and of itself. And therefore, if someone was Zoche on Shabbos in this object, then he's not allowed to be metaltal at more than 2,000 Amal Chol Ruach. And Umay, what does it mean that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, Lo Tahalech Zu Yosef Miragli Abaylet? In other words, since the Chavis and the Mayim are Hefker, so what does he mean, Ein Lahem? Well, what does he mean? Yosemi Ragla Bailam, Elam Bailam. They don't have Bailam, but rather we should interpret it Shalo Yahalchu, that the Chavis of Mayim should not go Elu Yosemi Kalim Sheyeshlem Bailam. That even though they're a Hefker, they should not be relocated more than Kalim that have a Bailam. And just like Kalim that have a Bailam, you're not allowed to be Molechim, Yoser, Mi Arba, Alpayim Amos, Mi Mokum Shvisus Baleim, so too in a Chavis Shal Hefker, Lo Tahalach Yosemi Alpayim Amo. Mi makom shvisasa. And this leads us to the mission of Hayakore B'Sefer Aleskupa at the bottom of Daf Tzadi Zayin Amid Beis.